This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Charlie Reimer, who gave us a little breakdown of none of the ACC golfers, but the Masters field. First round starts as we speak, which is beautiful. We've also got spring football, Wes, coming up this weekend. You've got NC State, but there's another ACC team in action on Saturday. Yep.
You bet. 5 o'clock, Garnet and Gold Ball game at Doe Campbell, and Chris Cotter and Mark Herzlich and Katie George will be there. And so will Mike Norvell, the head football coach at Florida State, who joins us this morning from Tallahassee. Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time as always. And I said this going to break. This has got to be just a much more pleasant experience this time of year than the unknown of a season ago or a year ago, right?
No question. It's been a great experience to be able to go through a full spring, for our football team, working to establish the identity of who we are, what we're all about. Really been pleased with the progress that we've seen and the work that these guys have put into it.
Coach, I can only imagine the enthusiasm of kind of to get back into somewhat of a normal routine, even though we still got a ways to go, but you can kind of see light at the end of the tunnel. Do you find yourself having to basically tell guys to relax a little bit? Because you got to figure, between all the isolation and everything you went through, which everybody did during the football season, you get to spring, you got a spring game coming up, and everybody's going to be going 200 miles an hour here.
Well, that sense of urgency, that excitement that we have is something that I'm enjoying to see. Our guys, it was a challenging year for everybody, and all the adversity that showed up, all the different circumstances that we had to go through, I think in the end, made us stronger, and it gave us a greater appreciation for maximizing the day and the opportunity that was guaranteed in front of us. And so, as we've jumped into spring, our guys have really brought that approach to each practice, to each workout, and that's one of the things I've been really pleased about, is that there is a sense of urgency for our improvement and a sense of excitement for every time we get to step on the field and play a game. We're not taking that for granted. And, we're all looking forward to Saturday, get our Seminole family here in the stands and to have a great excitement around the spring game and, just another opportunity to get better.
Coach, I think there's some other things too. I mean, obviously there's a handful of stuff. I've enjoyed seeing the video series that they've put on the Seminoles.com website about your program, The Climb. I think that's an inside look at kind of how different this has been, and it's really well done. The other thing would be this. There's this bit of an unknown about the quarterback. Mackenzie Milton transfers from UCF. I mean, he was as good as anybody in college football a couple of years ago before he got hurt. Kind of give us an update, at least from your chair, on where you think he is from a health perspective, and has he got the ceiling to get back to where he was before that devastating leg injury?
Well, we're definitely excited about the addition of Mackenzie to our football team. Phenomenal young man, great character, great leader. The relationships that he's been able to build, in a short period of time here in Tallahassee. It's been fun watching him practice. It's been fun watching him compete. I think that he's definitely brought a great value to our quarterback room. You see the competition with him, Jordan Travis, Tate Rodemaker, and Chubba Purdy. Those guys are all getting better because of who's in that room. And I think Mackenzie and his experience is remarkable. And you look at a guy that's won his last 23 starts in college football, the work ethic, how he prepares, the way that he competes, I think it makes everybody around him better, and really been pleased with the development of the quarterback room, not only with what we've seen in McKenzie kind of getting back into the swing of a day-to-day preparation and the way that he's competing.
Coach, I think one of the things that's always cool to hear are coaches talking about, hey, it's a new season, new roster. Who steps up from a leadership standpoint? Now, you had some alpha dogs last year during this crazy time that certainly took center stage and did not mind speaking their mind, whether it be on the air or in the locker room. What have you seen this spring from a leadership standpoint? Who stepped up? Who surprised you in that department?
Well, the thing that I've been excited about is just the actions that we're seeing. You know, throughout the course of the offseason, you know, leadership is going to emerge by who's willing to put forth the actions of hitting that standard day in and day out. And, you know, we've had some newcomers that have joined our program that, you know, didn't come in, you know, pounding their chest about what they were going to be or what they were going to become. But, you know, they just truly, you know, invested the time in the work. And guys like Jermaine Johnson, you know, has been remarkable as I've seen him grow and develop. You know, you've got guys that you are returning. You know, we talk about a Jordan Travis, Jayshon Corbin. You look at guys in the linebacker room. You know, Emmett Rice has been remarkable. You know, Amari Gaynor, guys. You know, Fabian Lovett up front. I mean, I know I'm hitting on a lot of names, but that's the thing that's exciting is that you guys are not just letting their words you tell the story. Their actions are what's setting them apart. And when you see that, when you see that leadership day in and day out, and the consistency of that, man, that's when people will follow. And I'm very excited about the steps that we've seen up to this point. We got a lot of work to do with the summer workouts and everything that's ahead of us before we kick off. You'll hear in September, but you know, seeing the right steps, and I like the leadership that's starting to emerge.
Well, you mentioned Amari Gaynor and Emmett Rice; those were your two leading tacklers a year ago. What kind of influence do you think that side of the ball has in your second season?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at our defense from a year ago, and you know, there's been a lot of change. We've had an opportunity for a lot of the young players that got that experience and kind of got thrown into the fire early. You know, they're getting a chance to show the development, the confidence that they have, and their strength and you know, their overall understanding of what they're being asked to do. You know, some of the new players that have come in that are going to bring a great impact to what we're doing. It's exciting to see that group gel and, you know, really, you know, like I said at the beginning, you establish the identity for what it is to be a Florida State defender and how we attack and the way that we play the game. And that's something that we have to see across the board. But you'll really like the steps that we're taking, the physicality of how we're preparing and practicing each and every day. And you know, it sets up well for what's to come here for this fall.
Coach, we had Dave Dorn on the show yesterday, and of course, Wes has got the NC State call Saturday. You guys get cranked up at 5 here on ACC Network. So for folks that are in the stadium, if you're lucky enough to go, and if you're not, you got your feet up and you say, hey, I want to watch a little football this afternoon, and you watch Florida State, give me two or three things that you are looking forward to in terms of the game, and as far as, hey, I want to see the competition in the areas of A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z. What? Give us a little feel for what we should be paying attention to on Friday, or excuse me, on Saturday.
You know, the things that I'm excited about for the spring game is to see our guys have to go out there and apply all the things that we've learned throughout the course of spring, our fundamentals, the situational awareness, playing with confidence in the call, and you being able to go out there and play with great pad level physicality. But I want to see our team relentlessly finish every aspect of what we do, and that's something that's important for us. You know, the situations, you know, going offense versus defense. I mean, there's gonna be things that show up that are going to force our guys to be in uncomfortable situations and truly seeing that response. And, you know, to have 11 guys on the field playing as one, playing with confidence and playing clean football. You know, I want to see limited mistakes, but also just a relentless pursuit of that standard of what we're trying to hit in each aspect, and just our team to go out there and get better and have fun competing against each other in front of our great fans and, you know, the opportunity that's ahead of us Saturday night.
Coach, I know this was announced a couple days ago, but Randy Shannon's joined your staff as a senior defensive analyst. Take us through how that happened. That seems like a terrific, terrific add on your part.
Oh, no question. We're so excited about Coach Shannon and, you know, him being a part of our staff. You know, obviously Coach Shannon and I have a history of competing against each other, but, you know, also had just a tremendous respect for him, not only as the coach that he is, but the man that he is. And, you know, being able to get him here and to be able to be an analyst and to be able to work with our defensive staff will give us a unique perspective of somebody that's been a part of tremendous defenses, you know, a wonderful coach, but, you know, be able to bring that perspective and to work with Coach Fuller and the defensive coaches, and really, you know, not, you know, to be able to take that step back and provide that perspective of what he sees, how it's tying together, you know, to be able to give that insight, you know, I think is a tremendous addition in all aspects, and just excited to have Randy here and what he brings to the program.
Coach, it was bizarre as you were talking, we were showing some shots of Randy. I see him in the Gator gear, I see him with the U, and now I see him with the Florida State look. You don't normally see that trifecta going across the board. But it's all about recruiting and knowing and all that stuff too. The one thing, and again, I'm not a recruiting guy, but on the surface, when I do read up on it, it appears that Florida State, from a recruiting standpoint, is now starting to get back in the business of, guess what? Here's some 5 stars, some 4 stars, and the great athletes that we always expected to see at Florida State. It sounds like, and it looks like, recruiting's off to a great start.
We're excited about the direction of our program. We're excited about how recruiting's going. And, you know, the young men that we've been able to bring into the program up to this point has been remarkable. I think we had six high school seniors that started early. And to see them come in, the way that they're competing, I think we hit on all of those guys and excited about the group that's going to be coming. And then for our future classes, you know, we've invested a lot of time building relationships. And for us, it's all about finding the right fit. And we want the biggest, strongest, fastest, best fit for Florida State of guys that are embracing the work, that are embracing the challenges that are ahead of us, so that we can get our program back to where it deserves to be. And I definitely believe the future is very bright here in Tallahassee, and we're getting the right guys to help us on that journey.
Coach, I want to ask you about something that there's a bit of an unknown on this. Are you anticipating that sometime this month you'll get some more information and details about how recruiting will return to normal, at least the next steps? Because I talked to some of your colleagues in the league here in the last couple of weeks. I think they're very optimistic that you'll find out something before the end of the month. And then hopefully May or June, you can start to kind of formulate in-person plans for recruits.
We're hopeful that we're going to hear something here shortly. You know, we need to be able to plan, and wherever that next step is, that's something that's important. And not only for us, but the high school, the players, the recruits, to have an opportunity to come and get on campus to be able to see and explore. As they're getting closer to having to make decisions, I mean, just to be able to have that evaluation, and it's really for them and for us to get to know these young men and what they bring to our programs, and obviously the opportunity that's here in store for them and their future careers. So we're hopeful to hear something soon, and you're definitely excited to get back to normal, and looking forward to that process.
Coach, my last question for you, and it's kind of a goofy one, totally offbeat. You've never been doing this for a year in Tallahassee. What's the one thing about being the Florida State head football coach that's happened to you that you didn't expect? I mean, you knew it was a big deal. It's great tradition, great history. You've done this for a year. I know it's been a goofy year. But has there been something that you said, you know what, I never realized, fill in the blank, is part of the deal as the head coach at Florida State?
I mean, it's such a remarkable experience every single day. And, to be able to lead this program, yesterday I was able to be a part of, Coach Bowden being recognized, here with the Medal of Freedom here in the state of Florida. And to be able to have those relationships, you know the tradition. You understand the greats that have come before you, the responsibility that I have in the role that I serve, but just the quality of the people, and to be able to build those relationships, and to see that it means so much. And the Seminole family is one that spreads across the country. This last week I was on a FaceTime call with Jalen Ramsey, and just to hear the passion, the joy, what this program means to all those that have come before, and it's remarkable. And to say that I didn't expect it, I was hopeful for it, but I mean, it's so much better than what I could have ever imagined. And that's why I'm so excited about what the future holds, and the young men that we're able to bring in, the coaches I get to work with, but most importantly, who we represent and the standard of Florida State, and getting back to that in all aspects of what we do.
Bobby Bowden, 91
you're right
years,
about it. It's it.
Bobby Bowden, what, 91 years young, got another award, man. He just never stops, does he? He's just still rocking.
He is remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. 19 starters back for Florida State, and we're looking forward to a Saturday afternoon here on ACC Network. Appreciate the time, as always. Be well.
Appreciate you guys, and go Noles.
You got it.
All right. That's Mike Norvell, head football coach at Florida State. Don't forget, ACC Network is your home for spring football. Coming up on Saturday, 2 contests presented to you by GEICO at 1 o'clock, Roddy Jones and I will be in Raleigh. We'll get a look at NC State in the red and white ball game. By the way, Pack, traditional red and white game for
that's
you
right.
on
that's
Saturday.
Exactly
I double-checked that yesterday.
Right. Red yeah, and
that's
white.
It.
That's right.
That's it, yeah. 5 o'clock, Garnet and Gold game. Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlick. Coveted invite.
Invite.
Katie George in a triumphant right. return to the sidelines on ACC Network and always streaming live on the ESPN app. This time of year, an old Packer and Durham segment around the ACC is next. We check in on all the stuff happening in the league. We got some softball. We got a little bit of baseball. We got some We got the pizza guy. The pizza guy, Marek Dolezal, on the list coming up next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
844-SAY-ACCN. Hey, thanks to Mike Norvell, head football coach of your Noles. They kicked that bad boy off on Saturday right here on ACC Network at 5 p.m. Looking forward to that as well. A little West Durham at 1, Noles at 5, Wolfpack, Florida State. Like it.
Let me real quick here before we get to around the ACC. Florida State, very quiet, 19 starters back from last year. 19, Pack. It's like a huge number.
It's like NC State. I mean, we had Dave Dorn on yesterday. I mean, those are two teams with a ton of dudes back. Now, granted, they're all going to be chasing Clemson in the Atlantic, and I hate to break the news to them. There's a ton of dudes back with a paw on their helmet. The league's got a lot of these now. I mean, North Carolina is going to be really good.
Yeah.
Ton of dudes back. Miami should be really good. Ton of dudes back. We talked about the quarterbacks in this league. Yeah. Ton of them are back. I mean, again, I think football is going this way, even though people say, oh, yeah, you guys were 0 for life in the bowls. I get it. And, hey, it is what it is. And you got to win those games. There's no question. But I think the foundation was settled last year during the regular season. The league's heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Fun to take a peek, wasn't it, at kind of some of these. And we'll do that, of course, as we continue on. More spring games next week. And then also into the following week, that final weekend in April. So we'll keep you covered on spring ball. It's been fun to kind of catch up as we move through. All right, let's go around the ACC. We had the ACC Swimmer of the Year honors presented yesterday. No surprise that national champions Paige Madden and Nicholas Albiero of Louisville were honorees. Pack, Paige Madden, tremendous. She's been on the show, been fantastic. And Nicholas, of course, also a national champion.
More hardware for Paige, right? I mean, she can balance that the next time she joins us on top of all those gold medals that she's been winning from the ACC and the NCAA swimming. But really a great year in swimming and diving for the conference as far as individual and team national champions. Great stuff.
Coach mentioned this with Pack a moment ago. Yesterday in Tallahassee at the state capitol, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis awarded Bobby Bowden the Governor's Medal of Freedom. What an unbelievable tribute and honor for the legendary football coach of the Seminoles.
91 years young and still doing his thing. You don't make people nicer than Bobby Bowden. So, you know, listen, every day above the ground's a good one. And thoughts and prayers to coach now. He's rocking it, and good for him. Well-deserved.
Yep. Time for the basketball news segment of the show, Pack. This is where we update you on guys making decisions. We will start in Blacksburg. Keve Aluma, who was a second-team All-ACC pick and could have been first-team, has entered the draft but is not going to sign with an agent and therefore will retain eligibility if he so chooses to return to school for Mike Young. 15 points, 8 rebounds, really good player. Would love to see him come back. Just going to be honest. I would love to see him come back to Blacksburg. Tremendous player and a key piece, I think, of what the Hokies could be next year.
I told you this yesterday. I'm assuming everybody's in the transfer portal, and I don't know why anybody makes any announcement that they're going to enter the NBA draft. Because, hey, let's say everybody enters the NBA draft. Everybody. You don't have to make an announcement. Just go let us know if you're coming back if you're out of here. I'm almost turned off now when every time I hear, well, so-and-so has entered the NBA draft. Great. Everybody's entered the NBA draft. I've entered the NBA draft. I got no skill, so I'm going to go back. You know, come on. It drives me nuts. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I hope he does come back.
News from I do too. Marek Dolezal's career at Syracuse is over. The young man from Bratislava in Slovakia will not return to the Orange, will seek professional opportunities. And my guess is he will be playing, if not in his native country of Slovakia, he will be playing somewhere in Europe. His game is versatile enough to play at that level for sure. But I'm going to be honest with you. We will see, with Dolezal's departure, the void of one of the great cult figures of ACC basketball the last few years. Not just the tooth getting knocked out against Georgetown. It's the continual punishment the kid's body took playing the game of basketball for the Orange. He was fun to watch, did a little bit of everything. And sure enough, we got him on the show, and he was wildly entertaining. So we wish Marek Dolezal the very best as he moves on back.
Yeah, we loved having him on the show. And, like I said, everybody's roster is almost to the point now where, hey, how many of you got in the transfer portal? Did you bring anybody in? Now, the good news for Syracuse, there have been some announcements of guys transferring into the program.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you yesterday. Right. I've told you the last couple of weeks. Hey, in October, hand me the rosters. I am not going to worry about it between now and then. That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
Just can't deal with it.
Yep. Ready to jump to baseball?
Let's do it.
Miami got the sweep of Florida International last night. They came from two down to win 8-2. Fell behind early. Gino Demare's team gets their sixth comeback win of the year. They have Pittsburgh this weekend, does Miami.
Yeah, that is, that is one of three ACC matchups for the weekend series involving ranked versus ranked teams. Miami and Pitt, Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, they're 15th and 13th respectively, and you're also going to have Florida State and Louisville. So three key ACC series this weekend, all involving ranked teams, but good to see Miami a winner last night. By the way, Wake Forest lost to Liberty for folks keeping score. So just pass that along as well. But big weekend of baseball coming up.
All right, softball side of things. Virginia Tech swept a doubleheader from Longwood. In game one, they won 2-0. Keely Ruchard, a complete game. There's number three,
she's
slinging
tough,
it.
Man. She is
Her 10th shutout of the year and her 19th win, by the way.
She was with us, last week? She is really talented, man. She just hums it and hits it and... She's a star. Number three is. Look at that. Good luck.
Yep.
Sit down.
However, it is of note, Keeley's ERA has gone above one since she was on the program, Pack. She was well below one, like an 08, I think, when 08.5, if I recall correctly, when she joined us. It's now tough. Above one since she appeared on this program.
I am not concerned. She is tough. And, you know, she's really low key and. You know, almost shy when she was with us last week, but man, you put the softball in her hand. It's magic, man. She is tough. She is really, really good.
Yeah. Before we get to the bottom of the hour, a couple more of these iconic symbols here. We talked about the green jacket. We mentioned the Flaming Spirit, Florida State, the turnover chain, Howard's Rock. Tradition at Boston College has started within the last decade, and it is one that encompasses not just the football program, but encompasses the entire institution. The red bandana salute to Wells Crowther is just a remarkable emotional tradition and symbol for Boston College. Had a chance to be there a couple of years ago, and it is palpable when you're in the room or in the stadium for the red bandana game. Happened to be against Florida State. Of course, Wells Crowther, if you don't know the story, a young man who worked in one of the Twin Towers in New York the day of 9/11 and helped save a lot of lives, but perished in his own efforts is always remembered annually during football season at Boston College. It's an amazing deal. Then you get to the campus landmarks pack. So you go from the emotional ties of events or you know, a recent note, then you just get to the campus landmarks, things you know when you see it. It becomes iconic. Like the Golden Dome at Notre Dame. Does that do it? That's pretty much an iconic campus landmark, right?
Yep. Man, listen, if you've never been to South Bend, you got on your to-do list, you'll get there and you're going to see the Golden Dome and you're going to say, you know what? That's Notre Dame. And you'd be right. And a beautiful campus. Yep. And I tell you what, you get a fall afternoon, wind blowing, leaves changing, sun comes out, glistening off that dome. It's a cool campus on game day now. Mm. I'm telling you. That's a bucket list. Bucket list item.
No question. The last two iconic things we have in the ACC at this juncture in our visit, Packer actually has them somehow.
What do you mean somehow? I got a bunch of stuff down here in the basement. Bunch. What would you like to leave
with?
But
you actually have Hokie Stone.
I do.
You actually have Hokie Stone from Virginia Tech.
I do. And
they sent you this.
Somebody at Virginia Tech was smart enough to send me a Hokie Stone. And this is it right here. When you go to their campus and you're going to see their beautiful architecture, and it is a gorgeous campus, it's Hokie Stone. And this is it right here. So I have it on our desk and amongst a bunch of stuff. But this is good old-fashioned Hokie Stone. And, in fact, I am married to a Hokie. So I told Amy, I said, no, you can't have your hands on this. It stays downstairs in the basement with me and the dog. So there it is, Hokie Stone. And that campus is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful.
Yep. The other one would be the top hat from Wake Forest, which makes a regular appearance on this show.
Anytime we have a Deacon on here, I wear this bad boy for at least a brief period of time. And, you know, I don't know if Charlie Reimer gets this as a size 8. Being a jacket, he probably doesn't need the Deacon top hat. But Jen Hoover.
No, he doesn't.
Jen Hoover sent this. And so it stays right on top of the Emmy that we won for the best live studio show in the basement with dogs. That we have that. So the Emmy sits right there. The top hat goes right on the top. Perfecto. Perfect spot for it.
Yeah. I'm not going to get out of here before I recognize another iconic piece of ACC lore. And that would be a Ford Model A that brings the Yellow Jackets onto historic Grant Field.
Pretty cool.
Now, Roddy Jones, next time he's with us, can tell you the techniques of which you run out behind the Ramblin' Wreck. But you will always notice that you see guys to the side, but it's the freshmen and the walk-ons that are directly behind the Ramblin' Wreck. Because when my man steps on the gas coming out of the tunnel, you can catch a little of the exhaust and it'll choke you down a notch. But elsewise, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
I don't.
It is awesome to see live, by the way.
It is cool. I don't get a sense that we're going to get a chance to drive that thing, so I'm going to just stick with the golf cart during the ACC Cross Country Championships. And Commissioner Phillips and Commissioner Swofford, they can ride shotgun with Chester. We'll have the cooler in the back. Wes, if you decide to join, there will still be room. But I'm going to stick to the golf cart, the ACC Cross Country Championships, and leave the professionals to drive that bad boy Ford coming through the Grant Field there. That thing is so cool, though. You're right. In person, it's awesome.
Yep. When we come back, and there's more, by the way, iconic spots and ACC campuses and lore and traditions. We'll get to them, some of those as well. When we come back, it's time for this week's edition of True or False, presented by
Dish.
Thank you very much. Oh, there's Penley.
Yeah. You know what he's telling them?
Penley's on True or False today?
You know what Penley's telling that kid?
Oh.
Go low. Win another one. Win one for Dad.
Go
82. It's win one to make it 82.
Back after this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Right here on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371, and assorted terrestrial radio stations in the ACC marketplace. All right, Wes, it's time for True or False, presented by Dish. And with that said, we go back up to ESPN land, where all the smart people are, And we bring on, I believe, the voice of victory. I believe it is the voice of victory. There he is.
The voice of victory.
Josh Macri.
who was applauded for taking Daniel Berger. Mm-hmm. And Rory McIlroy was
so
shunned. That was not so much for our Charlie Reimer's thoughts. So there you go.
We'll see.
He knows more about it than me, so if they stink, they stink.
Yeah, that's right.
What am I going to do about it?
Not a thing. Not one single thing you're going to do about it. You know what you're going to do? You're going to probably have something really cold to drink this weekend.
That's a fact.
There you go.
That's a fact.
No doubt about that. And the sun's going to come back up, whether you got the lead, the green jacket, or if you're in last place. And it's going to be okay.
This is Connecticut we're talking about. There's no guarantee that the sun will
come. Okay, so there's a chance you have a snow.
Oh, come on.
A blizzard, 14 inches on Sunday. And you know what? It's still going to be okay.
That's true. And with that, perfect segue, true or false, presented by
Dish.
There you go. The North Carolina women's lacrosse team has been rolling lately, winning 7 straight games by 10 or more. True or false, the Heels will keep that streak going and win their remaining 4 games by double digits as well.
Boy, Jenny Levy was so good.
False.
Jenny Levy was so good on the show last week, but I'm going to go false too. The league's too good, man. Kidding me? By the way, the women's teams
stat.
In this league nationally are ranked 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and 15. Now, let me give you those numbers again. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and 15. Those are the national rankings of the ACC teams in women's lacrosse. And you're talking about double digits down the stretch? And listen, Jenny's done a ridiculous job at North Carolina, but this league – This league is stupid good, is what it is. It's almost as if it's the only conference playing. Seriously. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 15. Good luck.
I tell you what, a shining moment for this league would be if they could get all 4 teams into the final 4 in both men's and women's lacrosse.
That can happen. And by the way, the men the men are ranked 1, 3, 4, 6, 9.
That's exactly why I mentioned it.
Don't think for a second all 4 could be in your final 4 there. That is not a reach, Wes.
Yeah.
That's not a crazy thought.
No.
That's possible. That's why every time we have a lacrosse coach on, I say, is it harder to win the ACC championship or the national championship? And I know that sounds like a goofy question, but it's the truth. It's the truth.
Yep.
True. Okay, next one.
Go, Josh.
I didn't want to cut you off. Men's soccer.
Is this like the old college football podcast, by the way, where you used to do walk-ons at the end and, you know, these guys would ramble on the answers and then you'd go, okay, we move along.
Yes, true.
Okay.
In men's soccer, 2 teams, Pitt, North Carolina, still have a chance to win the ACC's Coastal Division for the right to play Clemson on April 17th with the ACC's automatic bid to the tournament on the line. Pitt has UVA tonight, while the Heels take on Duke tomorrow. True or false, the Panthers will wrap it up tonight and not even give Carolina a chance.
Valentin Noel, Pack.
That's a good game. I'd say that's a good match. Pitt, Virginia. You know with me with soccer. Can I get the Rachel Keane coin out and flip it real quick? Here it is. I rub it every day before the show.
Go ahead.
This is in honor of Rachel Keane. She sent us this when she dominated North-South, right? So she sent us one of these two-on-two. Yeah. So when I'm in doubt with these kind of true and false picks, I do a flip of the coin. I land it on heads. True. True is the answer. Rachel Keane coin.
I'm going to say true as well. I'll say true as well. Pitt captures the Coastal tonight. Clemson captured the Atlantic, by the way, yesterday. So we'll go with Pitt. True. There we go.
Neither of you have any faith in George Gelnavach's boys, huh?
We do. Listen, it's soccer in this league's great. I mean, Clemson's number one in the country. You go down the same thing. Go down the rankings in men's and women's soccer. It's again, you almost kind of think there's got to be a typo. You can't have this many ranked teams with a single digit beside them, but that's what you find in this league when you get to spring sports. It's where we are. It's what it is. It's great.
All right, fellas, next. The last time Mackenzie Milton played a full season, he threw for 4,037 yards at UCF. Florida State's single-season passing record is 4,167 yards, set by then-56-year-old Chris Winkie in 2000. True or false, Milton will break the single-season passing yardage mark at Florida State this year.
False. Chris Winkie, hey, listen, dudes were throwing it back there when they had a great offensive line. They got to get the offensive line fixed. Yeah. So false is the answer to the question.
False is the answer. The next true-false question will be, who's older, James Skalski or Chris Winkie? That'll be the next true-false question we have.
Or sister.
Next week.
I tell you, you better be careful with Skalski. Those linebackers keep score. Skalski will pull up a chair right beside you, and there'll be no more Durham.
Wait. That's true. He'll pulverize me.
Yeah.
Skalski, Chris Winkie, sister Jean.
Yeah.
Who's older?
Oh, that is not right.
Macri did it. Hey. Macri did that.
Voice
not
of
me,
victory.
Macri.
Hey, voice of victory. You know what? You're going to have to wear that mask full time, brother. Keep coming up with those kind of questions. Be in hiding.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, what about this one?
Go ahead.
What about this one? No. True or false, Pack? We know that you have not played golf in what, quarter century?
24 years.
24 years.
Right. True.
True or false?
True.
To celebrate his record-breaking win, you'll break out the woods and irons and play a celebratory round with your good buddy, Larry Pentley.
Oh, that's false.
Wow.
That's absolutely false. That's absolutely false. I thought you'd say we're going to break something else out. It's not going to be a putter. Or a driver. We'll bring something else out. So maybe some brown water and an ice cube.
Mark
to celebrate.
The tape. Can we mark this tape?
Mark it all
and
you
play
want.
It for Penley at 9:30?
Larry knows.
I'm going to say false.
Yeah. That's an
Packer
easy
stands
false.
Hard on this line.
Yeah.
Packer stands hard on this no golf line. People ask me about it all the time, and I'm like, no, I'm telling y'all, he does not play. They find it hard to believe, Pack.
Well, I don't care if they believe it or not. When do I have time to play? If I wanted to, when could I play? I'm on the air this morning, every morning from 7 to 10. I'm on every afternoon from 4 to 7. Believe it or not, there's actually prep work involved with these shows. When do you go
occasionally,
and play golf? No, for my particular case, I can only speak for me. You prep for this stuff, and I've got one knee. So when in the world would you go play golf? I mean, I don't know why people have a hard time grasping that. I mean, I gave it up cold turkey when Gigi was born.
Yes, you did.
I did. And she was born March 21st, 1997. So it's been over 24 years since I played.
You know, Josh, I got to be honest with you guys. I'm beginning to believe the only way we're ever going to capture Packer is an ACC network outing at a Topgolf somewhere in America. I'm beginning to believe it's the only way we're ever going to get him to.
It's not even on my.
You know,
it's not even on my radar.
Hit it in a brown circle with this wedge.
No, there's going to be a brown circle and it's going to have a glass around it with one ice cube in it. That's what I'm going to be in. That I will go do at Topgolf. I'll sit back and you fools can go out there and think you can play, and I'll just sip on something that relaxes you a little bit.
Wouldn't you like to have just a night of fun with your colleagues on the network?
I'll have a better time than you will and won't see a Titleist. Unless it's cold, as in ice cold, and being used as an ice cube.
You.
Please.
That's it. Yes.
That's
there
work.
We have it.
For me, that is work now. It used to be fun.
Right.
I loved it. It's a great game. It's a great sport. You meet incredible people, and you can travel the world with it. But, you know, when I'm done doing all this goofy radio TV stuff, you know, at that point in time when I got 24 hours to fill after I get done writing my book, which I'm going to write, I'll go play. I may bring it back up then, but not now. I don't have time for it now. What a waste. What a waste.
There's a book. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm going to write a book.
All right.
That's coming. Tell all.
Mike Adler's going to join us next. We're looking forward to him. Thanks to everybody for True False, presented by
Dish.
Well done. Don't forget, we got lacrosse for you right here on ACC Network. I mean, women's lacrosse. Pac's already told you, high level. 1, 3, 5, and 6 on Saturday. 11 a.m., number 6, Virginia visits number 3, Syracuse. 3 o'clock, number 1, North Carolina. Number 5, Notre Dame. Lock it in. Saturday, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. We will stay with lacrosse. We'll go to the men's side. Mike Adler was the wall of Durham last Thursday night in the Carolina game. I mean, he stopped everything coming in there at 100,000 miles an hour. We'll talk to him next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. All right, let's get right to it. We've been bragging about lacrosse in this league, which is so unbelievably good.
Tell the truth.
And Duke is rocking and rolling on the number one line on the men's side. And Mike Adler joins us, the goalie from Duke University. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me.
A pleasure. I tell you what, you guys have been center stage on ACC Network the last couple of weeks, in particular the North Carolina game last week, the 1-2 deal, the Syracuse match the week before. I mean, the games have been unbelievable, and you are the center of attention. You got to be sitting there going, holy mackerel, they're coming at me from every single angle here with all the talent in this conference.
Yeah, it's wild. Every game is just an absolute brawl. So kind of being the goalie and living out that dream is an absolute blast. So our team's just having so much fun doing it.
All right, now wait a second. You got the biggest basket on a stick on the whole field, and yet people are throwing the ball at you at like 100 miles an hour. So what's the first point of protection for a goalie in lacrosse?
The first point of protection, probably your stick. You try to save it with your stick. If not, you soak one to the body. It's awesome. Highly recommend it.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. All yeah. Right. All right. Back. You into this? Here no, we go.
Well, listen. This leads to my question. I've been saying on radio shows when I got started 800 years ago, I am not the biggest fan of the beach. And I know you're from Fort Lauderdale. And I've always said the second – your big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team. And then I read up on you, and it turns out that you, as a Floridian, have been bitten by a shark. Now, for a guy that just said, oh, yeah, this ball's hitting me at 100 miles an hour, this is cool. Are you out of your mind, dude? Seriously. I mean, are you just one of those, are you just one of these guys that like, hey, man, that's living life. Let's jump in the ocean with the sharks, and hey, if one gets a hold of me, yeah, so be it. Put some dirt on it. We're down the road. What is the story with that?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I'm ready to – kind of the adrenaline is awesome. So surfing with a couple of my buddies, and it's our last wave in, like 20 yards off the beach, and next thing I know, I'm getting back on my board, and this huge jaw just clamps on me, and I immediately knew it was a shark, so I was – ripped my foot out of its mouth and kind of swam the shore as fast as I could, yelled at my buddies to – kind of come help me. They didn't believe me, so I'm like hobbling up the beach with barely a foot. But yeah, it was wild.
Dude, are you seriously? And let me ask you this. How soon afterwards did you say, hey, boys, let's go back in the water. Let's go surf some more. I mean, no fear, right? No fear?
No fear. Still surfing. And they actually dropped me off at the hospital and went right back to the same spot that I got bit at.
Wait a second. Wait, Mike.
Oh, man.
You got bit by a shark. You've got a major foot injury. Your boys take you to the hospital.
It's not right.
Let you off at the ER door, and they go back?
Yeah, they rode with me in the ambulance, and somebody picked them up, and they went right back to the same spot.
Gosh.
Great waves, so worth it.
Great waves.
Are you still friends with them? Are you still friends with those
still
guys?
Still friends with them.
Wow. I tell you what, I tip my hat to you, man. You are a thrill seeker. There's no question. You got to be crazy.
All right. So, yeah. So, along those lines, going to get the surf, hitting waves, things like that. And then last Thursday night, you know how this works. I mean, you guys, it's Carolina. It's great competition. Donowski, Bresci, the whole nine yards. You got two of the best scorers in college lacrosse squaring off. And this thing, and I jokingly said a couple days ahead when we had Coach Bresci on, And then we had Justin Gutterding with us the day of the match. And I said, you know, what are the chances that these two high-powered offenses end up in a defensive scrap? And sure enough, late in the first half, it was pretty low scoring. So take us through the momentum and the thrill-seeking last Thursday night in an unbelievable overtime game with Carolina.
Yeah, talk about adrenaline. Like, that gets you going. I mean, a defensive matchup. Our defense definitely has some pride in kind of being able to limit teams to a couple goals. And that team came in as one of the top offenses. And we kind of took that with a grain of salt, and we were ready to kind of make our mark. So I think we had all the confidence in the world. Our coaching staff put in a phenomenal plan, and we kind of just went out there and executed it and tried to make it hard for them.
All right, I want to get back to your thrill-seeking ways. So we got the shark bite. You're sitting there as a goalie. You're getting slammed left and right. What else do you like to do for fun, Mike? I mean, what else would be like on your bucket list of things to do just to kill some time?
Things to do. I think once this whole lacrosse thing is done, I love mountain biking. Unfortunately, it's a bit too dangerous right now, but definitely going to get into mountain biking. But honestly, when I'm done with college, I want to go just go live in like Indonesia for a couple of years and just surf every day. So that's more than the surfing thing is more than enough okay. for me.
Well, I tell you, you got
wait,
to
wait
you
I have I have a quick out. I have a question. I have a question. A guy who has been bitten by a shark and then takes 90-mile heaters and lacrosse off the chest and off the helmet, for all I know, if he can't get the basket up, just said that mountain biking might be too dangerous, Pack. I want that. I want the tape marked on that, too, by the way.
Well, I'm buying it. Listen, why would you argue with Mike Adler? I mean, the dude went and got bit by sharks and said, hey, I can't
point.
Wait to – I thought Adler would go in and try biting him back the way Adler's going. Mike was like, hey, where's that shark? I want a piece of him. I know how he is. These guys are nuts. I'm telling you. Look at that. Look in Adler's eyes right now. He's got that look in his eyes like, yeah, you really don't want to mess with me. You know what, Packer? I've had enough of these questions.
That's it.
You know what? If I was right there, I'd just take you out right now and be done with all this nonsense. I don't know. I know this one. Yeah. Duke lacrosse is the real deal, man. They are really good.
Yeah. Mike, what is the – I mean, when you're playing in this schedule in this season and in this league, and Mark and I were just talking about this. I mean, look, it's not beyond a stretch that the Final Four in men's and women's lacrosse could be an all-ACC event, right? What's it like, though, night in, night out, day in, day out? This is the real deal. I mean, at the college level right now, this is the premier lacrosse league in the country, and it's bar none this season.
Yeah, it's why you come to an ACC school, honestly, to play in these games week in and week out. But kind of like we try to simulate that pressure and what you're going to experience during a game. We try to kind of simulate that in practice. And our practices are intense. You have that's your chance to prove yourself. And if you're not bringing it every day at practice, then in the game you're probably not going to bring it. So the coaching staff places a huge emphasis on kind of your performance at practice, which for me was a huge adjustment. I'm used to, I'll bring it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and as we get closer to the game, I'll maybe relax a bit. But no, it's every day here is an absolute battle, and that kind of starts at practice.
All right. The competitive nature of lacrosse, guys, is interesting. Now, before we came back out of commercial break, we were sitting here talking about the Masters starting today in Augusta, and you asked us who we liked. Next thing we know, you're telling us about pegging it over at the Washington Duke. And so take me through, how's the lacrosse team's golf game? That might be the better question here.
We're pretty solid. I would say we have like five guys under like a 10 handicap. And then we have two guys, Turner Upgren and Jonathan Coffey, who are scratch golfers. And the day after the game, we were in an absolute battle on Saturday at the Waduke. And we came down to the 18th hole, and I kind of sank a huge putt. So that was almost not as good as the UNC win, but it was pretty good victory.
Tell you one thing. I'm not letting you drive the golf cart. You're a wild man. Ain't no way. No way Adler's behind the wheel in that golf cart. No stinking way.
No, we're walking. With Adler, we're carrying our bag, Packer. We're carrying our bag with Adler.
You're right about that. All right, Mike, let me ask you this. We do this with every student athlete that appears on the show. The hardest class you've had at Duke is what?
Easy answer. Financial accounting. That's a tough one.
Man.
You know, we've heard that answer a couple times at different schools.
Yeah.
That one apparently is a stickler. It's an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, man. You are a joy to watch play. Your team's unbelievable. And got a zero in the L column. It's the only thing that matters moving forward. And stay out of the water, will you? Please?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you very much. Great fun. Appreciate it. No, thank you. It was great. Mike Adler, who wears zero, the goalie for Duke's lacrosse team. He's having a phenomenal year. So are the Blue Devils, and so is the rest of the ACC. And kind of excited to follow lacrosse to the end, Pac. See how far this league can go. Yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
Men and women. I'm telling you, I just rattled off all those rankings. It is legit, and it's a great sport. Fun, fast, physical, combination of a little bit of everything. If you haven't seen one yet, you need to check them out. They are out of sight.
There you go. Power Hour is next. Dan Fisher, who was on the very first Packer and Durham show, returns to visit with us, the head volleyball coach at Pittsburgh and the winningest golf coach in ACC history, Larry Penley of Clemson, also in the Power Hour. All that coming up right here on ACC Network. Looking forward to it. Yeah, Lars Tiffany. Yeah. We talk about stability as well. Continuity in coaching and what it means to this league coming next.
Packer and Durham.